the Committee of the Whole Finance, Administration, and Communications for Wednesday, November 12th. Council members in attendance are Councilmember Nueva Camina, Stewart, Forsyth. Online we have Kritzer and Fields. If other council members show up, I will announce them as they arrive. We have six items on the agenda for this meeting. First up is the adoption of a resolution updating the water and wastewater connection charges and adoption of an ordinance updating the stormwater capital facilities charges. And I will hand it off.
Thank you very much. Our financial planning manager, Haley Zurcher, has been working very closely with our public works engineering staff, as well as our rate consultant FCS group, to walk through or work through the update of these fees. I'm going to hand it over to her at this time to let her go over the item.
All right, thank you. Good evening. So as mentioned, we're proposing an update to our capital facilities charges and connection fees. So these are our one-time charges applied to new development as a condition of connecting to the utility infrastructure. Redmond currently charges connection fees for water and for wastewater, and then our capital facilities charges for stormwater, and we are proposing updates to all of these. It is best practice for these charges to be reviewed and updated every 2 years. The last time we have brought an update forward was 2018, so we are a little bit overdue for something like this. So naturally, we have been working with FCS to get these charges updated. So before I jump in on updating or on the updates to the charges, I just wanted to note that the analysis does include a little bit of a change to the calculation methodology. Right now, we have two different methodologies, one for the water and wastewater utility and one for stormwater, and we are just proposing that we use the same methodology across all of the utilities. So currently what it looks like for the water and wastewater is we take the existing costs of the system plus future expansion costs divided by total system capacity. And what we are proposing is to do the total system cost divided by the total system capacity. The difference there is that we're including the cost of replacement and repair projects, not just expansion-related CIP projects. So that's just, we're just proposing to be a little bit more consistent across all utilities, and it aligns with best practice for these charges. So for the updates, kind of across the board, we're seeing mostly increases, which is expected because we're using an updated cost basis. So the projects that are included in the cost basis are all of our CIP projects for the utility. So we're seeing increased costs on those. So naturally, we'd expect some increases across the board. We are seeing an increase to single, or on the water side, we're seeing increases to the single family residential connection charges and commercial charges are for meters 1 inch and smaller, and then all other water connection charges, we're actually seeing a decrease. And that is mostly due to the increases, again, due to the increase in cost basis, but the decrease is related to the methodology of how costs related to fire suppression are recovered from these connections. So they're based off of land use rather than meter size. So that's why we see a decrease on some of the larger meters. The wastewater connection charges are a little bit more straightforward. We're seeing increases across the board, which is what we expect with an increased cost basis. And then on the stormwater side, so we do have three separate charges for stormwater based off of location. We have the citywide system and then charges for the Overlake and downtown subbasins. So we are seeing an increase, a slight increase to the citywide charges, and again, that's due to the cost basis. We have an updated capital facilities or a capital plan that we're using, so that's why we see those. We do see a slight decrease in our Overlake charges due to an increase in the number of impervious units that we're estimating, so that's the denominator of the capital facilities charge. And then we do see a pretty significant decrease on the downtown charges. That's actually due to a decrease in our cost basis, which is just another reason why it's important that we are updating these regularly, because as our plans change, we can see an increase, we can see a decrease. We just want to make sure that we're making sure that our cost basis is as accurate as possible. So we have presented our findings to the One Redmond Government Affairs meeting on October 23rd to provide an opportunity for the business owners to be informed and ask questions before adoption. So that's kind of the really quick rundown of those. Does anyone have any questions?
Great, thank you. And I will announce Councilmember Anderson has joined us. And Council, any questions on this item? Councilmember Nueva Camina.
Thank you. Thank you for putting this together and for taking a look at what does it look like to be equitable along with the regular check-ins and getting updated. I just want to confirm on the date when the presentation was made to One Redmond.
That was October 23rd.
And it was a follow-up, if I may. And it was so that we could hear some feedback back from the businesses. What have we gotten any feedback back from them? And if so, how did that go?
Well, a lot of the questions were related to just kind of logistical questions. And then we did get some questions around, so if you were to look at all of our capital facilities charges, we do have our water, a citywide water connection fee, and there is a regional capital facility charge for Cascade Water Alliance. So any developers who are connecting to our water system do have to pay for both. So there were some questions around that and about, you know, it is an additional charge. You'll notice in the materials for this meeting, I did include a comparison of Redmond and nearby jurisdictions, and that includes most of the jurisdictions. Anyone who's part of Cascade Water Alliance is going to have that additional capital facilities charge. So those were mostly what the questions were about, and, you know, just noting that that can be a deterrent for some developers because they do have to pay both. The reality is that Cascade Water Alliance, their charge is paying for their infrastructure and our charge is paying for ours. And our proposed rates are still kind of keeping us right in line with some of our neighboring jurisdictions and quite on the lower end as well. So that was kind of our response there.
Thank you. Do you have a follow-up?
Yes, please. Thank you, Chair. Would it be beneficial if there was more communication between Cascade Water Alliance and what the purpose of the alliance is to the developers, or to where we can continue having transparency, having good communication, so that there aren't so we can level set expectations?
Yeah, I think that could be a good conversation about. Sometimes I think people see the list of charges that they have to pay and don't realize that the money's going to two different organizations. So I think that would probably be helpful.
Great. Thank you.
Any other questions? Councilmember Stewart.
Thank you so much. And thanks for engaging in the conversation around the meeting on the 23rd. I serve on the One Redmond Government Affairs Committee, and Haley did just an awesome job answering their questions and walking them through a lot of technical detail. Of course, the feedback always from the development community is we wish it would be faster and cheaper to build projects, right? And so that feedback is in alignment with much of the others. I think that group has a lot of interest in the results of the process improvement study for development services as well. My one question for the team here is, we've been doing so much of this year, this catching up on kind of delayed maintenance of rates and the like. What's the plan for setting us up to make sure we are able to catch that improvement 2 years from now?
I will take that question. One of the things that delayed us moving through a new rate setting process for the utilities was really lack of a solid plan for the capital program. So with Director Burt's guidance and a very concerted effort by the CIP group, we're very really feeling confident in those capital plans and in their plans to continue develop as we move forward. You see that there's doing a lot of studies to inform themselves, and I think we're now in alignment. Prior to really this update, it really didn't seem as though updating the fees would provide us with a fair or equitable result because there was still so much unknown. So I believe that we are back on track and we'll be updating those fees in the next non-budget year.
Thank you.
Great. Any other questions on this item? Seeing none, this is slated for consent on November 18th. Does anyone have any reasons that should not occur? Seeing none, we will see this on the 18th. Thank you. Next up, we have adoption of the ordinance for the 2025-26 budget adjustment number 4. Director Cochran.
Thank you. Again, we have Financial Planning Manager Haley Zurcher to speak to this item. This is our second cleanup item of the year.
Thank you, me again. So again, this is our second cleanup item for our budget adjustments. On this list, you will see we are recognizing revenue, most of which you have seen come through already. If you haven't seen it come through, these are revenues for projects that have already been approved by you all. So hopefully no surprises on this list. I will also note we are proposing the addition of a new fund. So this is for the Business Technology Investment or BTIP program. Right now we kind of manage all of the BTIP projects within the TIS operating fund, and this is an administrative need to make things a little bit easier to track. So we are proposing the addition of a new fund, and then we do have a couple of correction items with some staff that were being paid out of the incorrect account. So this is just a little bit of a cleanup there. So I will not go through every single one individually, but wanted to know if there were any specific questions about these items.
Thank you. Questions from council? Council President Kritzer.
Yeah, thank you. I was curious on the BTIP fund, why it is that we'd be seeing this in a budget adjustment versus just waiting until the next biennial budget, since that seems like something that may not have the same urgency to be able to do that cleanup, and it might be better to just do it within the holistic budget process. I'd also love just a little bit more background on that decision and why what other types of decisions or what other types of examples of us kind of making new funds like this has happened.
I will go ahead and speak to that. What we're proposing to do is to move the technology investments into a capital fund. These are assets that we oftentimes do capitalize. They become a record on our fixed assets, and so we want to be accounting for them in the proper type of fund. We are looking to do this change now because administratively it kind of means a lot of work for us, and so we want to get that set up and very clear before we enter into the budget process. We certainly can do it in the budget process. It's not having the fund will not stop us from being able to set it up in the next budget process, but it does help us take care of a lot of administrative work, and it also helps us get that activity into the right fund before we close year end 2025 and move into our development of our financial reports. Right now, this is kind of an exception that they work around, and as we're implementing the software to help us develop the annual financial statements, I'd like to get that in alignment.
Yeah, I appreciate that answer. So one quick follow-up question is if we make this change, when we do the accounting, I guess we do it, will it be at the change of the new year? So it would be for 2025, we'd account for it in the old fund, and 2026, it will get accounted for as in the capital fund, or what's that going to look like in terms of our financial reporting and audited financial statements?
The plan right now is to create the fund and do the budget adjustments to allow us to have all the activity recorded in the new fund for 2025. That way, when we get to the next biennium, there is good comparative data. It's really difficult when you change the fund in the middle. So we're looking to make this effective as of January 2025.
Okay, yeah, sorry. I think you said 2025, but I thought you meant 2026. So that's helpful. We can do that retroactively.
Yeah.
Any other questions from council? Councilmember Stewart.
Thank you. I believe we actually are required to have these done by the end of the year. What I wasn't clear on is if we need to hold any new hearings related to these adjustments.
No.
Thank you.
And I will follow up with my question. It sounds like this will help us in the auditing process as well. Is that correct?
Correct.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions for this item? Seeing none, any dissent for having this on November 18th consent? Seeing none, we'll see this on the 18th. Thank you. Next up, item number 3, adoption of the ordinance establishing the 2026 property tax levy for general operations.
Thank you. I've got Deputy Director Haritha Nara here to walk you through this planned update to our property taxes.
Good afternoon, Council. So I'm here today to share the 2026 property tax levy ordinance and request it to be placed on our consent agenda for November 18th. as required by RCW 84.55.120, Council must officially adopt an ordinance every year for this new tax base and the dollar increase. I'm getting out of cold, so my throat is really bad. So, excuse me. The due date to submit, we also need to submit the adopted ordinance to King County, and the due date for that is December 1st. Just wanted to clear some of those dates in at front. So this ordinance implements 1% property tax increase that was approved as part of our 25-26 budget. And it also allows us to recognize new revenues, which are from the new construction and growth occurring throughout the city. We currently are working with the preliminary numbers. We did not get the final numbers from King County yet. So once we receive that is when we will update the numbers and levy data and submit it to the King County. So based on our preliminary numbers that we received from King County, our estimated levy rate for 2026 is 0.82 per $1,000 of assessed value, which is slightly a little decrease from 2025, about 2% decrease. That is primarily due to a growth in the property values in the city. And I will share the assessed value information in a second. the total 2026 property levy calculated is about $34.5 million. Which represents about $1.2 million increase, a 3.9% increase compared to 2025 levy. And I wanted to confirm to Council that this is very close to what we have budgeted for 2026 as well. So we have forecasted pretty same. So of this increase, we have about 331,000, which is reflecting the 1% increase, and also the remaining amount that comes from new construction and city growth. So the total 34.5 million levy split between general fund and public safety levy and parks levy and parks MNO. So 27.6 million will go into general fund to support core city services, and 5.3 million will go towards the public safety levy, which is fire and police. 759,000 will go to parks levy, and 825 to parks MNO maintenance and operations fund. As I said, I would like to highlight that the city total assessed value has been increased quite a bit compared to what I have seen in 2025. It's grown by 6.3%, and it is about approximately $3 billion from $39.5 billion in 2025 to $42 billion in 2026. So this will be on November 18th consent agenda. So any questions for me?
Questions from Council? Councilmember Stewart.
Thank you so much. The ordinance lists the hearings that we already held prior to the adoption of the budget. Do we need to hold another hearing for this? Okay. Thank you. My only other request is that I was on the edge of my seat for each of the data points that you just shared. If you could send an email with these data points, I think that'd be really helpful. Thank you.
Councilmember Fields.
Yeah, thank you. First question. We could, if we chose not to take the 1%, we can do the rest of it. Is that a correct statement?
That's correct.
With the new construction, okay. And have we demonstrated, you know, there's been a lot of tax increases. We're feeling a lot of people are feeling the burden of property tax. I hear it from a lot of seniors. I actually am one. So what would happen if we didn't take the 1% this year? What would that, how much of that 331,000 would we not take, and what would be the impact to our finances?
It would be 331,000.
It is 331. Yeah. Okay. So the new construction is another number.
Yes, the new construction is about 650,000. We have seen. Yeah.
Okay. So, I don't necessarily have another question. We'd be 331,000 that we wouldn't have in revenue, and then I guess the question is, who needs that money more, the property owners or the city? And I will work on that and decide how I want to vote on that.
Okay, thank you.
Council President Kritzer.
Thank you. Just to clarify, we did make the decision to be able to have an assumption within the budget that we passed for the 25 to 26 biennium that each year we would be increasing by the 1%. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Great. So this decision is essentially just doing the annual action to align to the budget that we already set. And if we don't take that action, then we may be off on our budget. Is that correct?
That is correct too.
Okay, great. Well, I think we did have that discussion during the budget process. And I think if we want to have a discussion about whether or not we take the 1%, I would suggest that we have that when we hold on a sec. Sorry, my daughter just came in just a second. hold on. I just wanted to say, I think we should wait and see you know what? I'll just, I'll pause. I think you got the idea.
I think we get the idea. Thank you. Any other questions from council members? All right, something to think about. Thank you so much. I hear one potential person may pull for the consent November 18th, and everyone else, how are we feeling about putting this on consent for November 18th? All right.
Just a friendly reminder, we do have to send this information or the adopted ordinance to King County by December 1st, or else we won't even get that amount.
Heard. Yeah. Thank you. We will see this on consent on November 18th.
Awesome. Thank you.
Next up is item number 4, approval of authorization to execute 3 wireless telecommunication amendments for Novelty Hill, Fire Station 14, and Education Hill.
Thank you. Joining me now is David Amble for the next 3 items, and so I'll go ahead and turn over the wireless telecommunication leases to him.
Thank you for having me. Yes, this first item is for approval for to consent for 3 leases. Just doing it as a bundle, but there's 3 separate documents negotiated. These are all pretty simple amendments. They're not actual leases. They're just amending the existing leases that they have. First one, AT&T, they have they're modifying the equipment and adding a slight, I think, one additional antenna to the top of one of the water tanks, Novelty Hill specifically. And so that kind of meets the threshold of renegotiating some of the terms. Second one is Crown Castle at Fire Station 14. That is an additional square footage being added to their ground station, so that of course meets the threshold for amending the lease, scaling up the rate by the 42 feet. Pretty simple. And then the third one is Verizon at Education Hill. Their lease expires in January, so we'd like to renew that lease or have them the ability to have them stay there. And so it's basically another 10-year lease.
Great, thank you. Any questions from council? I'm not seeing any. So council, any objections to having this on the November 18th consent agenda? Also not seeing any. So thank you for the presentation.
Sure.
Appreciate it. Next up is item number 5, approval of the lease amendment for Northwest Restaurants, Inc.
I will go ahead and turn this over to David as well. This is KFC. So that's my most fun thing to say.
So, yes, this is for the KFC lease. Northwest Restaurants is their franchisee. It's at the well-known spot at the down here at the base of the hill from Redmond Way. They have a lease that's expiring at the end of the year, or sorry, end of June. Regardless, what they want to do is they'd like to stay. They want to stay as long as they can. And they've proposed two 5-year options. And we said that makes sense. And then they have 4 or 5-year options after that. And they're going to have we're going to bump up the rate a little bit and then set it for 5 years so that they can take the additional capital that they would recover from annual escalations to do a significant remodel to their facility. The building is old, it's relatively tired, and they need to do it because if they don't, they'll lose the franchise from KFC. KFC will cancel their franchise agreement, and then they will be out of business for that location, and then we would have a vacant space. So I was like, okay, what do we need to do to make it work for you? And we'll obviously work with them to, they'll have to do permitting for whatever work they want to do on that site. Building improvements, landscaping, signage, etc. I think the sign is not up to code anyway, so anything to bring it up to code would be great.
Great, thank you. Any questions from council on this item? Councilmember Nueva Camina.
Just a quick question or a quick comment, and that's when I was reading through this, I saw just a great example of private-public partnership and how we can make a win for everybody out of this. So great job.
Thanks.
I will jump in with my question. Seeing the rate amount, that seems, from what I've heard from other tenants in the area, it seems a bit lower than what I've heard for market value. Can you talk about how you got to that number within that 5-year period? I know they need to do improvements, so it makes sense that they'll be able to reinvest, but it sounds a little under market rate from what I've heard from other tenants.
It probably is. I didn't actually do a comparative analysis. What I did do is I sat down with the existing rate structure that we had and how it's been going up year after year after year. And I said, okay, and we do have, and I don't know what the other landlords might have, because I'm not sure what the ownership structure of maybe the Wendy's around the corner is. We have a profit sharing segment. So we get 6% of the sales after rent. So we take the rent, and I can say it because it's a public forum, yeah. We have a format with them that's been around for, I think, years since we acquired the lease from acquisition. We have the rent accounted for. We subtract that out. That they tell us this is what our annual sales are. We subtract that out, and then we take 6% of that, and then they send us an additional bonus check.
That is absolutely fascinating. It sounds like we all need to eat at KFC more.
Yeah. I know that the guys at the maintenance division know this because when they were doing their plowing, they would like, hey, you know, go over to the KFC, they'll feed us. So.
Awesome. Thank you for the additional information. And I believe that makes a lot more sense now in my head as to the lease amount.
Yeah, I didn't include that because it was just part of the standard term. Yeah.
That makes sense. Thank you. Any other questions on this item? Any objections to this going on consent for November 18th? Seeing none, we will see this back on the 18th. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And item number 6, our last item for this meeting, approval of the lease with WDOT for trail segment connecting SR-202 and the Redmond Central Connector /East Trail.
Again, that's me. Little bit of a... It's a term that WDOT used. They call it a trail lease. It's really an O&M agreement, but the template that they provided us for the lease is it's exactly that. They have trails all along the right-of-way. They said, "We, you know, you guys need a trail lease with us. Okay, well, we'll sign a trail lease." It's really an O&M agreement. Sound Transit built the trail. It's within the WashDOT right away, adjacent to 520, running from SR202 down to the RCC. So we just, it's a small segment, maybe a couple hundred feet total. And we just need to get that signed by the mayor and approved so we can operate it. We've been operating it, I think, for several months now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we just need to get the...
This is a very exciting missing link on that bike and ped pedestrian connection. So this is a good item.
Yep.
Any questions on this one? I think we're all excited to accept this.
Great.
So I see no questions. Any concern about this going on consent on November 18th? Seeing none, we will see this back on the 18th.
Great. Thank you very much.
That brings us to the end of our agenda. Are there any items for good of the order? Since we have a few minutes. All right. Seeing none, thank you, everyone. This meeting is adjourned.